Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio and our friends at Montana Public Radio, bringing you the latest news of the region. It is Wednesday, the 21st of January, 2026. I'm Carl Lengel, your host. Montana's congressional delegates are vocal supporters of President Donald Trump. However, they've been quieter on Trump's push to take Greenland. Montana Public Radio Shaley Ragar reports.
On the anniversary of Trump taking office a second time, the state's Republican delegates lauded many of his policies, like on immigration and the economy. But their reactions to the president's foreign policy have been mixed. All four delegates commended Trump on the capture of Venezuela President Nicolas Maduro. Congressman Ryan Zinke, a former Navy SEAL, told News Nation that striking Venezuela was necessary, but he was hesitant to support the U.S. taking over Greenland earlier this month.
I think being a liberator is a much better position than being a conqueror.
Zinke said he'd be open to the U.S. purchasing Greenland if its citizens were supportive of it. The country's leaders and other NATO nations have consistently denounced the proposal. During a recent teletown hall, Congressman Troy Downing said he does not support any action that would put NATO at risk. Spokespeople for Downing and Zinke pointed to their previous statements on Greenland when MTPR asked about Trump's plans, but did not answer specific questions. Senators Tim Sheehy and Steve Daines did not immediately respond to MTPR's request for comment. In a statement last week, Daines said it's important for all NATO countries to work together to protect the alliance. At Montana's Capitol on Tuesday, four military veterans led a rally protesting various Trump policies. About 200 people attended, including David and Sue Mannix, who identify as independent voters. David is a Vietnam War veteran. Sue says Trump's actions, like pushing to take Greenland, undermine her husband's service.
And instead of being a proud American, I hang my head in shame at what is being allowed to happen.
The rally speakers called on Montana's delegates to push back against Trump. In Helena, I'm Shaley Breaker.
Montana is one of two states that has never introduced a bill to regulate cell phone use in schools statewide. That's according to a first-of-its-kind report from a national child safety organization. A growing body of research indicates student phone use during school negatively impacts learning. Three dozen states have a law that at least partially restricts use during school. Eight are now considering restrictions, and four have introduced bills that died before they could become law. Montana Governor Greg Gianforte last year tried to secure funding from lawmakers to incentivize schools to adopt student cell phone bans. That request failed in the legislature. The Montana School Boards Association says roughly 90% of Montana schools have a full or partial cell phone ban in place. Montana's educator shortage appears to be worsening. That's according to new data from the State Office of Public Instruction. The state is on track to authorize more than 300 unlicensed educators to teach this year. That number has gone up consistently for half a decade. The emergency authorizations are designed to help schools plug critical gaps in the classroom when fully licensed teachers aren't available. The number of teachers getting a license for the first time or renewing one were down last year, too. Data trends indicate more teachers are leaving the field in Montana than entering it. Teacher recruitment and retention continues to be a primary focus for Montana lawmakers. A program aiming to keep Montana's ambulance services financially afloat is in jeopardy. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports rural ambulance providers could close if it fails.
The program would tax nonprofit and for-profit ambulance providers at a little over $6 million a year. The state would then use that money to draw down more federal Medicaid funding, roughly $30 million. Republican Representative Ed Buttrey sponsored the bill that created the program last year.
And then money would be redistributed back to ambulance service providers.
But federal health officials say the state can't implement the program. That's because a provision in President Donald Trump's so-called Big Beautiful Bill says states can't create new provider taxes to get additional federal funding. Existing taxes are allowed to stay on the books. State health officials are still asking the federal government to approve the plan because the legislation was passed before Trump's bill. But the state submitted its request in December, well after the new law took effect. The state health department told lawmakers it expects it'll be denied. Butchery says ambulance services will likely struggle without the additional funding support.
You may be getting basic life support in lieu of advanced life support. Another scenario is they just simply don't show up at all. So it's pretty catastrophic for our rural communities.
Butchery says there's still discussions happening between the state and federal officials. He's holding out hope the program will be approved. In Columbia Falls, I'm Aaron Bolton.
The U.S. Department of the Interior has revoked grazing permits in Phillips County in north central Montana that American Prairie used for its bison herd. This decision follows a lengthy battle with the Montana livestock industry, supported by Governor Greg Gianforte and the Montana Justice Department. The Montana Stock Growers Association praised the move as a win for public lands ranching. American Prairie criticized the decision as arbitrary and unfair, emphasizing bison's ecological importance. The Interior Department cited the 1934 Taylor Grazing Act, stating the bison were not managed for production purposes. American Prairie is considering a legal challenge. In a press release last week, the USDA Farm Service Agency announced the appointment of 5 leaders in agriculture to serve on the Montana FSA State Committee. Members of the FSA State Committee are appointed by Secretary of Agriculture Brooke L. Rollins and are responsible for the oversight of farm programs and county committee operations, resolving program delivery appeals from the agriculture community, maintaining cooperative relations with industry stakeholders, and keeping producers informed about current FSA programs. Each FSA state committee contains 3 to 5 members, including a designated chairperson. The individuals appointed to serve on the committee for Montana are Carl Rob Mattson of Chester, serving as the committee chair. Mattson is a longtime operator of a no-till dryland grain farm that produces small cereal grains. Gene Raymond Curry of Valier is founder and president of a livestock operation as well as a livestock trucking enterprise. Brian Dale Egbrecht of Belgrade is owner and operator of an operation that produces wheat, barley, dry peas, lentils, and oilseeds in Phillips County. Constance Ione Iverson of Culbertson is a fourth-generation farmer and rancher who manages a cow-calf operation with irrigated hay, pasture, and cropland along the Missouri River. Robert E. Lee of Lewistown is owner and operator of a diversified cattle and grain operation that raises crossbred cattle and grows hay and wheat. According to the USDA press release, Mattson, Curry, and Lee all served on the FSA State Committee during the previous Trump administration. USDA Farm Service Agency implements agricultural policy, administers credit and loan programs, and manages conservation, commodity, disaster recovery, and marketing programs through a national network of state and county offices and locally elected county committees. For more information, visit fsa.usda.gov. Wyoming's own Anna Gibson was an elite trail runner when friend Cameron Smith suggested they team up for the U.S. mixed relay team in the new Olympic sport of ski mountaineering. Despite being new to competitive skimo, Gibson's background in skiing and running made the transition logical. In her first World Cup event, she and Smith won, securing a spot at the Milan Cortina Games in February. Gibson's journey from trail running to skimo highlights her versatility and determination. Now she and Smith are aiming for medals at the Olympics, not just participation. Gibson was a cross-country skiing junior national champion in 2017, and she was a 2-time Gatorade cross-country runner of the year for Wyoming before running for Brown University and the University of Washington. The award-winning podcast, Reframing Rural, is hearing out succession stories in its 4th season. Megan Torgerson anchors the homegrown podcast. Torgerson is Dagmar, Montana, born and raised. In her younger years, she surmised that an authentic voice was missing in the media landscape. She confronts that conviction in the podcast, Reframing Rural.
I wasn't really seeing narratives about rural places with very much complexity or care. I felt like, given my background in a very, very small town, that I could kind of go in and do interviews that shared rural stories with more nuance.
Megan founded the podcast while writing her thesis, Reframing Rural, Rewriting the Narrative on Rural America. This season's issue examines succession stories, including those of Montana rancher Gene Curry and Torgerson's own family.
Gene's story is really one of personal growth, I think, and just showing how he was open to listening to his family more is very important. And it shows the complexities of having on-farm and off-farm kids. I'm the youngest of four girls, and none of us are taking over my family's farm and ranch. So our succession plan was pretty straightforward. We will all be co-owners of the farm and ranch someday, and the plan is to lease it out. But with the people featured in season four, there's a lot more nuanced dynamics when you have some kids who are farming and some kids who aren't, like the Currys.
There are other stories that thread maybe leaned a little bit more toward gender or ecology or even generational mix management. Who are some of the people that you found interesting as you worked through season four?
Absolutely. So the Hammond family, that was the first episode of the season, and they are from Malta. Howie Hammond, well, first, this story also has an element of medical history, too. So he was diagnosed with ALS and told that he only had a few months to live. And his daughter, Andrea, had stepped up to the plate and said she wanted to take over the farm and ranch. And so in those last months, they were scrambling to get a succession plan in place, working with an accountant and an attorney. Luckily, they found out that he was misdiagnosed and has a slower progressing muscle degeneration disease like ALS, but he's been fighting this disease for more than a decade. But Andrea is the one who came with her husband, Wyatt Lean, and their two kids, and they have taken over that operation in Malta. And yeah, it's beautiful to hear. There's lots of women in agriculture throughout the season, like Abby Bruski. She married into the Bruski family from Ekalaka and grew up on a farm and ranch. And she is just a powerhouse in that family, really encouraged them to get a succession plan in place, which her father-in-law and mother-in-law had yet to do. And speaking of ecology, they completely revamped their operation. So they were formerly a farm and ranch, and they reseeded the entire operation back into grass. And Abby's husband, Ryan Bruski, he actually studied under Gabe Brown, who wrote the book Dirt to Soil, and he's also in a Netflix documentary that features Woody Harrelson as well. And so he's learned a lot from Gabe Brown about regenerative agriculture, and they have just seen the grass health on their place grow leaps and bounds. And it was really special to be able to spend a whole weekend with that family interviewing them all. And I actually brought my parents and my 2-year-old son, he's now 2, to that reporting trip, and it was really a beautiful story of families coming together and continuing agriculture.
For her work on the podcast, Megan Torgerson has been awarded numerous grants and fellowships, including the inaugural Public Humanities Fellowship from Humanities Washington in 2022 and the 2020 Fellowship from Guesthouse Cultural Capital Residency. That's The Worm for this Wednesday. Catch up with us tomorrow morning. We'll have another episode for you early birds then.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal art call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.